And that's a good thing. Say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And my heart does perceive. You're talking to me. Amen. So, we're going to recognize out of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, St. Paul says we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And it's confirmed in multiples of levels. And I want to kind of take you on a little bit of a journey that your soul and your body and your spirit have also separated into threes. Now, you're already aware that your body has three parts. It's made out of flesh, out of bone, and out of blood. If you don't have those three ingredients, what have you got?
Nothing.
You've got a corpse. Right or wrong? There's no blood? What have you got? A corpse.
First Thessalonians what?
5:23, spirit, soul, and body. So the body is made up of three parts. Now take a deep breath and say, my soul,
my soul
is also made up of three parts. It's my mind,
my
will,
and
my emotions.
My
mind, my will, and my emotions. Now, your spirit has three parts. Your spirit has the spirit of wisdom. It has the spirit of communion and of conscience. So there's nine aspects of you coordinated together that God is working with and that you have had from the time that you were in this realm. Before you came into this realm, only your spirit was with the God. And when your spirit was released into the earth, you came into your mother's womb, and then he gave you an earth suit. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The earth suit grew. Maybe at 12 you decided that you were going to do your own thing instead of God's business, but that's another story. The bottom line that I'm trying to show you is three parts, flesh, bone, and body, and blood, I'm sorry, flesh, bone, and blood, the soul made up of mind, will, and emotions, and then your spirit is wisdom, communion, and conscience. What we tasted on Sunday was the communication. Communion is going back and forth, communing with one another, keeping your brain out of it, because you're so darn nosy, and so am I, that we allowed the Holy Spirit to communicate from spirit to spirit. A lot of people would say, whoa, this is not God. Well, I've got news for you. The confirmation came, in my estimation, by showing us that the tree of life was here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it mean that you cannot have interpretation? No, it doesn't mean you can't have it. It also means that maybe if you get nosy enough, you'll get it.
Was the interpretation basically what those two got a vision?
That might have been their interpretation.
I mean, is that
in vision
that,
form?
Yeah, my result was that things that took place in my home, I walked through total peace. At one time, it wouldn't be, but there was instincts that took place.
Yeah.
Total peace, and in the heavy discussion I mentioned, I just sat there and listened and, you know, was getting from it with no desire to get in there.
Good.
But there was just so much peace that I experienced.
Good.
Yeah.
So the fruit for you was the spirit of peace.
Yeah.
That's a confirming voice.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, I want to kind of give you a scenario that if you look at your mind, your will, and your emotions is where sin has entered in. So the soul was what the enemy knew would open the door to destroy. And a lot of times, we think it's our spirit that gets us in trouble. It's not your spirit that gets you in trouble. Because it's not about wisdom, it's not about communion, and it's not about conscience. Conscience goes to work when your soul flubbed it or failed it. Correct? Did you ever do something stupid?
No.
And then you have an awareness, oh my God, I should have just kept my mouth shut. Look where I am now. That's your conscience. That's your spirit activating on the interior. And giving you a nudge, do something about it. Correct? Mm-hmm. So, did your spirit sin when your conscience is activated?
How could your spirit sin if it's been cleansed of sins already?
Okay, there's two ways to look at this.
Okay.
All right? Hmm. The first part you need to be aware of is your spirit man is alive when you accept Jesus. If you don't accept Jesus, you're still under the anointing of darkness, and Jesus says you're of your father, the devil. Okay? So your spirit can be under the anointing of darkness just as well as you can be under the anointing of the Lord. So depending on who you choose, how many know that there were two thieves on the cross? Okay? Next to him. One had an opinion, and the other one had mercy and crying out for grace. One got to go into paradise. The other one got?
Nothing.
Right. He got destroyed. Okay.
He got something.
He got something. All right? So, you need to remember that it is your soul, okay, that is subject to sin, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where the war is. Your mind is being picked on with thoughts, and those thoughts can either be bound or released. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought into captivity. Well, if you look at what you're thinking about and you realize that it's all negative, maybe there's an opportunity for you to pray and ask God for help. Ask the spirit within you to go to work on behalf. So there is no sin from the body because it's subject to the dictates of your spirit or your soul. So your body is not guilty of sin. It gets guided by either one. One is the soul or one is your spirit. Romans 8 explains that very well, because he says those who are controlled by their spirit are my sons and my daughters. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those that are under the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, and controlled by the mind, will, and emotions are what? They're carnal.
Mm-hmm.
They may be Christians, but they're thinking only in the natural realm. And the Lord says to us, develop your spiritual senses. I shared with you the book of Jude last week. Why? Because Jude says, build yourself up. Well, build yourself up is like saying to an athlete, you need to do 20 laps every 3 hours if you want to be able to enter the race. And then we'll test you to see if you've got any umption or gumption inside. But if you look at the athlete and he says, I don't want to practice, I don't want to run. Well, is the guy that says, are you qualified or disqualified? What are they going to say? What's the judge going to say? No way. You haven't done your part. So our part is to build ourselves up. If we don't build ourselves up, what have you got? You're subject to your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is in control. Now, you're also going to find that you have either spirit rulership or soul's rulership. Either one is up to you. You can choose to go forward with just the way you are, and God will respect that. Or you can say, God, I want more, which I believe all of us are here for that purpose. You're here because you want more. You want to have the Spirit of God alive in you, defending you, bringing you higher than you've ever been before. What you were yesterday should not be satisfactory for tomorrow.
Amen.
Okay? So whose job is it to build yourself up?
Ours.
Okay. I can remember when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I used to enjoy Kenneth Copeland. And I can remember Kenneth Copeland saying that he was going to go minister to a church that was probably 3 hours of driving. So he decided that he wasn't going to listen to music, that he was going to pray in the Holy Ghost all the way to travel for 3 hours, nonstop. So he prayed in the Holy Ghost all the way for 3 hours. When he got to the place or the church or whatever it was, he said, to his surprise, he had everybody get up to, you know, say a prayer at the beginning. And then when he walked by, they started falling on the floor, one after another. And he thought, oh my God, what did I do to them? Because it was a new experience. If he would have shut it down, tell me where we would be today. Would you be aware that there is so much more to you than you know or have known? And it's your spirit man that can actually take you higher and really transform your soul. When you're full of grace and favor and peace, what happens when there's a stirring in the house?
Doesn't bother you.
Why?
Is it the Spirit of the Lord is just keeping you peaceful?
Yes, peaceful. Do you see Jesus getting bent out of shape because the people are all upset? Or did he say, hey, they made a decision. Let them do whatever they want to do. Let them go wherever they want to go. Remember the Revelations chapter 22 that I gave you?
Yep.
Okay? Let the sinner continue to sin. He's happy doing what he's doing. Okay? Don't try to bug him. What good is he going to do? Do you ever see people arguing that they need to accept the Lord? And all they do is say, ah, finally, what do I have to do? Jesus, take over. And then 2 hours later, they're swearing. Did they get a transformation? And the Christian says, hee-hee, I got one. What are you laughing about?
Just been there.
Okay. You and I have choices to make every step of the way. Whatever choices you and I make, God will honor it. If you say, Jesus, I've had enough, like the rich young ruler, okay? He's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. He's not measuring stuff. He's in authority, and he knows it. Got it? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus says, follow me. Really? He said, well, there's one more thing. Did you do this? Did you do that? And he says, I've done all those things. Then he says, one more thing. Give up what you've got. Go give to the poor. Take care of those that haven't got anything. And he walks away with a frown. Why?
He didn't want to give it away.
He couldn't do it.
Did Jesus run after him?
No.
Jesus wasn't a very good Christian. Because in the religious realm, if you didn't run after him and get him to say the sinner's prayer, are you catching on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's religious. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing against those who do those things. That's their problem. Not mine. But I will tell you this. I've been a believer for many years, and I've never pressured anyone. If they can't see who I am by what I'm doing, and if they can't see Jesus in me, then by all means, I better fold the package up, because I've wasted a lot of time and energy. And your testimony today about the lady coming down and being serious that she wanted prayer, that's perfect. You understand? I'm not trying to build anybody up here. I am just saying that's the kind of obedience that he wants. And I believe that that lady will come back to you. Okay? And when she does, she's going to knock on, you know, Darlene, there's something about you. Every person who hungers for more will receive more. Every person who's satisfied with what they've got, God will respect. He's not going to run after you. He's not going to chase you down. He's not going to send a couple of dogs hounding you. It doesn't work. And you've got maybe things that you need to change, but that's between you and the Lord. And he will respect. You know, there were seasons where the Lord would ask me to do certain things, and I'd say, Lord, I just can't do that right now. I just don't have it in me to do it. My soul wasn't ready. My spirit would probably go ahead, but my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions were involved. And they were ruling. So I was a ruler. Get it?
Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. How many of you have ever had something you know you're supposed to do and didn't do it? Put your hand up. Because of whatever the pressure is, it's not coming from your spirit. It's coming from your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. It's nothing to do with wisdom, communion, or conscience. Now, what about when you get a thought that comes in and says, you should have given that kid 20 bucks? You know the one that you went by the other day and he had a little bucket with a sign, I'm homeless? You should have given him 20 bucks. But you didn't because you thought he might be a crook. But if he's really persistent by your conscience, you're aware. And that happened to me many times where I've gone by, driven down the road, and the Lord would say, now go back. And I did. And I went back and got back in the same line and saw the same kid and gave him the money. Why? Because then I knew it was God. It wasn't a head trip. And I knew that I was doing this to obey the Lord, not just a waste of 20 bucks that he'd go down the street and get drunk. And when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got taken by quite a few. And one was specifically bad because I fell for a lie and I did not discern it. My conscience and my communion with Jesus was not strong enough and my wisdom was lacking. And I can tell you that not only did we give this individual food, money, rent money, and at one point, I believe we even got him a car. Okay? And we set him up. This young man was in Westfield, and that was at Grace Church of Christ. And I get a phone call. Prayer line's open. I'm answering. It's the same kid. Kim, you got to pray for me. I'm in jail. I said, what are you doing in jail? Well, I was speeding, and I was drinking, and I need somebody to bail me out. And I said, don't expect me to go there because I'm not doing it. I said, if you played the church for a bunch of fools, and I think we were, by really not discerning, do you understand? Not discerning. We wasted God's money. Because we felt sorry for people. Look again who was in control. Was it conscience? Was it communion? Was it wisdom? Or was it mind, will, and emotions? Now you know that we were soulish at that time in multiples of levels, and I confess to you, I can't tell you how many mistakes I made because I was under the emotions. I was under the wrong will. And the fruits were deadly, and there was waste. Okay? Some people say, well, just because, you know, that you didn't give anything, wasn't that a lack of compassion? No, it's a lack of discernment. If your spirit is ruling and reigning in you, then you're going to be able to do what God says to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And when you do what God says to do, and you're not sure, cry out for confirmation. Lord, I'm not able right now. I need your help. Holy Ghost, help me to do the right thing. I don't want to miss the mark this time. And be honest. And you say, well, do you talk like you're talking now? Yes. Yes. Sometimes I'm frustrated because I don't want to miss. Okay?
I'll just talk about me. Lots of times it's, if I don't ask, like, for instance, the people that are panhandling on the street and stuff.
Yep.
If I don't ask, then I don't get an answer.
Okay.
So I think the majority of people don't answer. They just don't ask, I mean. They just drive by and don't.
Yeah.
And I think it's as important to ask.
Yes, it is.
And I think it's sometimes it's because they're afraid they might hear, yep, go back and give me 20. and they prefer not to do that.
That's
because
right.
Because they've got eye on my on.
But plate. That's the young, yep, man, the young ruler. What was he doing? He couldn't give up what he had. His position was, ooh, I am a high individual, and I've got a good position, and I want to do it my way.
You know, Kim?
Yep.
It reminds me, a few months back, sometime during the summer, I might have said it, but I was sitting in a parking lot over by Ocean State. Did I tell you?
Yes, you told us.
Did I tell you?
Yes, you told us.
Did I tell you?